Let's take our Bibles today and turn to the book of Luke, chapter 4. The book of Luke, chapter 4. And we're going to talk about temptation in the wilderness. Well, we may not be living exactly in the wilderness, but that's where Jesus was when he was tempted by the devil. Amen. How many have ever been tempted? Amen. All three of you. Amen. But it's something we all deal with, but it's something that Jesus dealt with too. Jesus never sinned. He was perfect, completely perfect, pure, and sinless, yet he was tempted by the devil. And so this is what we want to talk about for a few minutes today. In the book of Luke, chapter 4, verse 1, let's notice what the scripture says. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. In those days he ate nothing, and afterward, when they had ended, he was hungry. And the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." But Jesus answered him, saying, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." Then the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, "All this authority I will give you and their glory, for it has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomsoever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve." Then he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." And Jesus answered and said, "It has been said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." Now when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. I want to, if I may, add one verse of scripture found in 1 John 2:15. And that scripture says, "Do not love the world nor the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever." So if you can keep in mind those three things, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, for those are the three things that Jesus was tempted by the devil to, and it's the method that Satan has used since the Garden of Eden. And so temptation is going to come, but God is greater. How many of you believe greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world? I do believe that. Praise the Lord. Father, I pray that you'd bless the ministry of the word today. Talk to the heart of every person. Instruct us in your word. I pray, Holy Spirit, minister power, life, and strength. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated if you like. Temptation is nothing new. All of you know that. It started in the Garden of Eden, Genesis, and it has never stopped, and temptation will never stop until all sin has been judged and the kingdom of God rules in all the earth. And Jesus had just returned in the power of the Holy Spirit now, and he would begin with the most wondrous ministry that's ever been known. And Jesus didn't need TBN. He didn't need anything. He was God in the flesh. Amen. Amen. And he was Emmanuel, God with us. Christ became man. Amen. Hebrews 7:25, "For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens." And he would begin the most wondrous ministry, full of authority over all disease, sickness, sin, and death. He would do something that no one else has ever done before or since. He was and is not just a good man with a good set of religious rules to live by. No, Jesus is the Son of God. Hallelujah. No one had ever shown this kind of authority that Jesus would have. Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. You say, well, he was God. Yes, he was God. Is God. Amen. But when he was baptized by John in the Jordan, the Bible says the heavens opened and the Spirit descended as a dove and came upon him. And that's when we know when his ministry began that we know of. And today, Jesus is full of power and authority over all things. He is still revealing himself to all who will come to him in faith. And church, this is good news for you and I. And good news of Christ is still come to the earth. Even the Apostle Paul, in his going to Rome to present the gospel of Christ, he said, I am a debtor both to the Greeks and the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are at Rome also. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to all who believe, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. And so we know that Paul came and preached the gospel as well to all peoples, not just Jews, not just other peoples, but Jew and Gentile who are the same, and everybody needs the gospel. And that's the gospel that needs to be preached today continually. And so how will people know what to believe unless you and I as a church live what we believe? It's not a matter of just calling on Jesus and showing up to church on Sunday. Thank God for your faithfulness here. Praise the Lord. But it's a matter of being Christian on Monday as you were on Sunday. Amen. In the Romans 10:14, it says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. Now, that's not talking just about pastors. It's not talking about just a ministry behind a pulpit. But we all bear the good news of Christ throughout the world, wherever you are, in whatever place that God has planted you in today or in your secular life. I want you to know God has placed you there for a reason. He didn't place you there until somebody offends you. He placed you there because the people that you're working around need the good news of the gospel of Christ and the salvation. There's not a soul on this planet does not need to hear that Jesus saves, Jesus loves, Jesus cares, and Jesus came to set people free. The whole world must hear that. Hallelujah. But as Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit and began his ministry, he would surely encounter opposition. He would be tempted for 40 days by the devil. You may ask yourself, what is temptation? If you're on a diet, Bluebell is a temptation. Okay. Temptation really is a suggestion to do opposite of what is righteous, holy, just in the sight of God. Temptation is yielding to any suggestion of evil. Temptation is the work of Satan and not the work of God. James sheds a little bit of light on this. The book of James, chapter 1, verse 12, it says, blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord has given, promised to all those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust, or his own desires, and enticed. Then desire, when it is as conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. So I can tell you, God is not the author of temptation. The devil is. He wants to destroy you, mankind, who's created in the likeness and image of God. But I want to tell you something. There's good news. Jesus overcame all temptations, and by sending the Holy Spirit, he's given us the power to overcome the things that temptations we'll be faced with in this age. Amen. Matter of fact, God gives us a great promise in 1 Corinthians 9:10-13. He says, no temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man, who will not allow you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Our part is to see the way of escape and take it. when temptation comes. And so that's our part. Praise the Lord. But we know that Jesus was tempted, all points as we are, yet without sin. He never failed. I'm glad that he didn't. Therefore, he has the authority to take away and to forgive sins today, because he never sinned. And so we're not to love the world nor the things that are in the world. Three things are mentioned in 1 John 2:15 through 17 tells us there, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. The lust of the flesh refers to sensual pleasures. The lust of the eyes refers to covetousness or materialism, which eyes look at and wish they had. Some things we need, some things we just don't need. The pride of life here refers to being proud about one's position in the world. And we could sure all go to town in the political realm about that, but we won't. But let's look at first of all here, and look 4, 1 and 2. We find that Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan, was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. You see, everything that Jesus went through, and he went through everything humanity went through. He was Son of God, yes, but he was Son of Man as well in his humanity. And so he returns in the power of the Spirit, being tempted here, and he was led by the Holy Spirit in the wilderness to be tempted. Why would God do that? My friend, if Jesus in his humanity knows what it is to be tempted, he can identify with you and I where we're tempted. Praise God. And so Jesus had been without food for 40 days. And obviously after 40 days he was hungry. And here the tempter, the devil, comes to him. And the devil says, poses a statement here, says, if you are the Son of God, he was challenging the deity of Christ. If you are the Son of God, command that this stone become bread. And Jesus is saying, he's appealing to the lust of the flesh here. He says, if you're really hungry, then you got the power within you to make these stones. You can make a loaf of bread out of the stone. But you see, and Jesus could have. But Jesus refused to operate independently of God his Father. The Spirit had led him into the wilderness to prepare him for his ministry. So eating at Satan's instruction would have shown a lack of dependence on the Father. And my friend, the thing we need to learn here from Jesus is that you and I are totally dependent upon God to live an overcoming, victorious Christian life. We cannot do it on our own strength and our own power. We must be empowered by the Holy Spirit as Jesus was, and we must be totally dependent upon God. You say, well, that makes me look weak and sick. No, it does not. That's living the way God wants you to live when you're in total dependence upon God the Father. We cannot make it without him. And Christ, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, but without him I can't be victorious, but in him I can be victorious. Praise the Lord. And Jesus uses what we need to use. He used the Word of God. And Jesus uses truth, his Word, to combat a lie. Not by bread alone. Bread was a staple of life in the natural. And God had provided for Israel in the wilderness for 40 years. Manna from heaven every morning when they got up and came out of the tent. And then bread was on the ground for them. Manna from heaven. Called angel's food in one place. But we find here that God provided for Israel for 40 years. And here, when the devil tempts Jesus, he quotes the word of God from Old Testament, Deuteronomy 8 and 3. So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might know, that you might know that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Israel was led for 40 years by what God said. They left when God said. They traveled when God said. They stopped when God said. And they learned to walk with God for 40 years. And God provided for them every day. It's amazing as you read through the Old Testament. You can spend all your time finding out what all was wrong with Israel. And there were some things wrong. But you can spend some time finding out how great a provider God was. I mean, water out of the rock, enough for them to drink fresh water every day. Not only that, but out of the rock for animals, many animals that they had to water their flocks and keep them alive. God provided everything they needed in their wilderness journey for 40 years. Amen. And Jesus today is the bread known as the bread of life. He proclaimed himself to be that, which was a statement of his deity. Amen. Satan said, if you're the Son of God, command these stones be made bread. In all of his ministry, Jesus would provide. He fed 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. We know that Jesus proved himself to be the Son of God. Amen. He didn't need the devil to tell him he wasn't the Son of God. He didn't need to say, if you're the Son of God, Jesus was, is the Son of God. And you know, we cannot survive spiritually without a bread of God's Word. The world today, this nation, all nations must hear the truth of God's Word. It's amazing today, it seems that people do not believe many things. Amen. Unbelief. But the Bible tells us there is a heaven that God has prepared for those that love Him, and those that turn to Him and live for Him. There's a hell for those that reject His offer of salvation through His Son. There is an eternal life to be given that God offers freely to all people. And there is an alternative to that. If people do not want to serve God, it's called eternal separation from God and judgment. It's called the second death in the book of Revelation. My friend, you don't want to go to hell. You want to go to heaven. You want to serve God. You want to live for Him. You want to have eternal life instead of eternal suffering and destruction. You want to live this gospel that we're preaching today. And the Scripture, the Word of God, is what people must use as defense against temptation. By God's Word, we know right from wrong. Amen. If there was not a Bible in America today, anywhere, you can see it in other countries where the Word of God is not available, people don't know right from wrong. And sadly, there's many people in our world today that's never discovered the Bible, and they don't know God's definition of right and wrong. But there is. God tells us what is right. God tells us what is wrong. And God tells us what will destroy us. And God tells us what will keep us and encourage us and strengthen us. Amen. By God's Word, we know right from wrong. We not know what evil is. We know what righteousness is. By God's Word, we know how to live, because God has showed us and told us how to live in His Word. Jesus said, you search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. These are the ones who testify of me. Amen. But how does the enemy of your soul appeal to the flesh today? I don't think that's hard to answer. It could go on and on. The lust of the flesh, let's notice this. It's what Satan appealed to with Jesus. Said, if you're hungry, just make bread and eat it. Same thing had happened in the Garden of Eden. The devil's used the same temptations that he's always used against humanity because they've always worked for him. But how does the enemy appeal to the flesh today? The enemy of your soul appeals to the flesh through sensual pleasures, like sin being promoted through all means of communication that we have, through books, through internet, through television, through advertisements. The devil uses any means to reach people to promote a sinful thing in each person. And so he wants that sinful nature to take over and control you and rule your life. But God said in His Word, Isaiah 5 and 20 says, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light, and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet, and sweet for bitter. God made us to know the difference between right and wrong. He made us to know the difference between good and evil. And there's people today that try to make some Christian version of every sinful thing that's out there. You cannot sanctify that which God has forbidden. You cannot say it's okay to take a little bit of this and a little bit of that and it's all right as long as you don't do too much. No, it were to abstain from the very appearance of evil, the Bible tells us. Amen. And church, do we know, as a church, do we know what's right? Does the church world today know the difference between right and wrong, good and evil, sin? Does the church know that? Some don't seem to know that, and I'm not pointing to any denomination by any means, but there's people that call good evil and evil good. There's people today that put light for darkness, bitter for sweet. But God makes it very clear the differences. So what is the lust of the flesh today? It is to cause you and I to be disobedient to evangelize the world. Why can't we just be a good church that comes here and every once in a while we get to gather and have food, fun, and fellowship and just have a good old time together and not really say anything about sending the gospel to the end of the earth? No, we can't be that way. Don't get me wrong. Tell by looking, I believe in food. fellowship. But my friend, that won't take the place of the burden for eternal souls. I want to see people go to heaven. If you're really a child of God, you don't want to see anybody go to hell. You want to see them turn to God and turn to Christ. And the church is doing the will of God, is sending this gospel to the ends of the earth. That's what you're doing. That's what we're doing. We don't want people to be lost. The lust of the eyes or the lust of the flesh might make us not be what God asks us to be. Jesus said, all authority is given unto me in heaven and earth. And he does have all authority. He says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Second of all, we have the lust of the eyes. Because what the eye can see brings people to temptation many times. Let's look into Scripture here. Luke 4 and 5. Then the devil take him up on a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment's time. And the devil said to him, all this authority I will give you and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. If you will worship me, all will be yours. The lust of the eyes. And Jesus knew that all, that God his Father was interested in all humanity. God sent his only Son to this world to die, to pay the debt for sin, that all people might have eternal life, that all the gospel could be sent to all the world, that whosoever will could be saved. Born again into God's kingdom, be on their way to heaven instead of hell. God prepared hell for the devil and his angels. It didn't really prepare it for humanity. People go there because they choose to refuse God's gracious offer of salvation through his Son. So God is willing that all should be saved, that they're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the lust of the eyes is covetousness or materialism. And things that look good, and I can tell you that Satan is able to make sin look good. When Eve was tempted in the Garden of Eden, he made the fruit look good. And so, the Bible says when Eve saw that it was pleasant to the eyes, a thing to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit. And she didn't just take it of herself, she gave also to her husband and said, here, taste of that and see if it's any good. That's my version. But we know that they sinned. And so with the lust of the eyes, and people that are thieves, what they want to steal looks good enough. They're willing to break the law in order to have it. But to yield to one suggestion of Satan caused sin to fill the world completely. And we have a sinful world today because of that. Because of Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, because we were born of the sin nature. And the devil says to Satan here, look, let me make you a deal here. You see, all the kingdoms of the earth, this is my dominion, and it was. He's known as the God of this world, God of this age. He didn't have complete authority, but he has whatever God allows him to have. And he said, I can give you all these kingdoms of the world in a moment's time. I can just give you all this. You don't have to go to the cross. Look at what I can offer you, Jesus. Satan says, I can offer you the world without a cross, all nations without a cross, without paying the price for sin. I can offer you this world with no suffering, no pain. All will be freely given to you. Satan says to Jesus, if you'll just fall down and just worship me, if you'll just trade me for your Father in heaven. Verse 6, all authority I will give to you, their glory, which has been delivered to me, for I give to whomsoever I wish. If you'll just worship me, Jesus, then this all that will be yours. You don't have to go through that cross. You don't have to go through that suffering. You don't have to hear people say insulting words to you. You don't have to be nailed to a cross. You don't have to have your side pierced with a spear. You don't have to do all of that. I'll just offer it to you. I'll require one thing, Satan says, if you'll just worship me as God. There is no hesitation in Christ's reply. Verse 8, Jesus answered and said to him, get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Worship goes only to God. Amen. It stops there. It's God's. And so, if Jesus had yielded to Satan's temptation, I will tell you, today there would be no atonement for sin. If Jesus had yielded to Satan's temptation, there would be no heaven for mankind, no hope of eternal life for you and I. Nothing but judgment for mankind who was created in God's likeness and image. All that would be left was judgment. But Jesus resisted Satan, and thou today, my friend, there is atonement, there is forgiveness of sins, there is reconciliation with God, there is hope of eternal life, there is judgment has passed over us because Christ was judged on the cross for our sins. He hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Wonderful Savior. I'm glad somebody resisted temptation. I'm glad that Jesus resisted every offer that Satan makes him. For you see, worship alone belongs to God. It is recognizing the holy, righteous nature of God. It's what worship is. Worship of possessions, places, or things dishonors God. And worship of stuff and people never bring honor to God, and they never help you at all. Christ must be first. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. To cave into temptation always comes at a price. The devil never offers temptation to you unless there's a price to be paid for it whenever you cave into it. Years ago, that pastor friend of mine is talking to him. He's been a friend all my life, many years of my life. And he's talking, he said a certain man came into his church that day and said he wept all the way through the sermon. Gave the altar call. He came up to be prayed for, and pastor asked him, "See, what's wrong?" He said, "Last night I committed adultery against my wife." My pastor friend didn't say, "Oh, it'll be okay, just forget about it." No, he said, "No." He said, "God will forgive you, but you have got to go face your wife and tell her what you did. You've got to own up to it." So his sin that night may have been 30 minutes or an hour of passion. It was not good. It came at a huge price. It threatened his home, his family, his children. It threatened everything. It was never good. I'll tell you something. It was Judas in the New Testament. Judas knew all of Christ's sayings. As a matter of fact, he was been one of the people that were sent out to pray and to heal the sick and do all miracles and stuff. But somewhere along the line, the lust of the eyes got to Judas, and he began to notice the income of the ministry. And to the point where he began to lust after things, and he saw the pieces of silver that went into the ministry. And the Bible says, Jesus said he was a thief, and he began to steal out of what was coming in for the work of Christ and his disciples. And he bargained with chief priest for 30 pieces of silver. He would betray his Lord. He had no doubt heard Jesus make the statement, "What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and yet loses his own soul?" And we know in the end that Judas was sorry for what he had done, but he found no place really of repentance, even though that God would have forgiven him. But he gained 30 pieces of silver, but he lost his soul. It came at a price. Don't cave in to what the devil wants you to do. Don't live the way he says. Don't see if he says it'll be fun for a little while. No, it won't. It'll never satisfy. It'll never make you happy. Just say no. A thing our society has failed to do and forgotten to do. And when young people, old people, middle-aged people, whoever you are, amen, from 2 to 102, say no when the temptation comes along. Amen. And the believer, Satan comes sometimes and says, "Let's make a deal. Let's discuss this cross, this faith, this holy living, this eternal life thing." The devil wants to discuss that with you. "Let's make a deal together here, like a game show. Let's make a deal." Let me tell you something, friend. There is absolutely no deal to be made with the devil. There is nothing to discuss. Jesus said on the cross, "It is finished. The plan of salvation is here. This is the way that it is. It's not going to change. You can come to Christ by the way of faith and by what he did for you on the cross, or you don't come at all. You don't come by the way of another religion or some other thing that you come up with, we either come God's way or we don't come to God at all. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And without him, there is no other. Hallelujah. And Jesus did not yield to temptation. Hebrews 2 and 9, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for everyone. He did not cave into temptation. He didn't go after the lust of the eyes. Nor, last of all, did he go after the pride of life. In our text, verses 9 through 13, there, we'll give it to you. He brought him to the Jerusalem, set him on a pinnacle, the highest point of the temple. Said, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself down. And even the devil quotes a scripture, or part of one, in Psalms 91:1. He shall give his angels. After all, Jesus, your Father said he'd give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. You can prove really who you are here by jumping off the temple, because God the Father is going to protect you. But Jesus would not even yield to that. He said, it has been said, Scripture, you shall not tempt the Lord your God or put your God to the test. Amen. And so Satan overcame temptation by the word of God every time. Pride of life, being proud of one's position in the world. Jesus humbled himself, bore the cross for you and I, poured out his soul into death. My friend, across this world, there is no other name that's greater than the name of Jesus. But Jesus didn't get that name from yielding to the temptation of the devil. He came to the place of having a name that's above every name because he lived in perfect obedience to his heavenly Father. Jesus, God the Creator, no one can offer a greater position than God. Amen. And today, Jesus, he's the Savior, the Redeemer. He's the King of glory. He's the Bright and the Morning Star. He's the Fairest of 10,000. He's the Lily of the Valley. He's the King of glory. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Hallelujah. We're looking for the same Jesus to return in the clouds of heaven. He will. The same Jesus which is taken up from you, so come in like manner as you have seen him go. It's going to happen one day. Hallelujah. Heaven will unfold. The King of glory is going to come down, come back again. It'll be worth it all if you resisted the devil and you went on serving God, living for God, no matter what. You just keep walking with the King of glory. Amen. There's a wilderness of sin out there, but you and I can overcome. Because he overcame, you shall overcome also. Hallelujah.